Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Canada. Canada, the neighbor to the north, the open border for all these decades. Everything's going well between the United States and Canada, except a sudden announcement by Justin Trudeau, prime minister for 10 years, that he will be resigning. Soon enough, there is electoral calendar to pay attention to, but the original scheduled election was in the fall of 25. I learned from Alison Federka of Geopolitical Futures and Analyst. Now that date is likely to be in the spring of 25. Not a profound change, but what's behind it is important for the immediate future of U.S. and Canada with Donald Trump in the White House and with the as yet unnamed new prime minister in Ottawa. Alison, a very good evening to you. Your essay provides top issues facing Canadians today. And I go to that because it is striking how similar it is to the United States at the top line, the rising cost of living, inflation, in other words, at the grocery store. However, there's some issues here that the U.S. does not now struggle with. And the second one is housing. That, I believe, is the door to the troubles with Justin Trudeau's premiership. What about housing? What is it that upsets the Canadians so much? They're glad to see Mr. Trudeau leave. Good evening to you.
Good evening. So the housing issue is it's labeled as affordable housing. There were many issues leading up to this, some pandemic related in terms of shortages of supplies that put pressure on building new houses that they're still dealing with today, and others are more structural that they've been dealing with for a while that are coming to roost. There's an imbalance in the labor market for construction workers, so it is hard to give enough supply to meet demand. Labor costs are up, price of goods are up, that's making housing more expensive as well. And up until recently, the Canadian government has wanted to import immigration levels so that they would have certain trade skills available to relieve market pressures and also to ensure medium and long-term growth that comes with a growing population, which they cannot do on their own. They need to have immigrants help with that. But when you bring in an influx of people and the market can't absorb them right away with housing, that also will drive up costs. So you're seeing a lot of very expensive housing. You're seeing it difficult to have rent for people. You're seeing people having to move to different cities or move to outskirts because they simply can't find a place to live that also would meet the basic standards and quality that they're used to.
If I read you correctly, Justin Trudeau encouraged this immigration so that what we look at now is a population of 40 million and theoretically growing. If he encouraged it, why not the housing? Was there some reservation? Was there some hesitation, regulation, market conditions? What does he say?
So the issue that they had in part was they didn't really, I think, anticipate all of the factors dampening supply when it came to the housing market. The government has tried to loosen up regulations and mortgages to make it easier for Canadians to buy houses. That hasn't worked out entirely as well either. And I think there was definitely a mismatch in broad scale terms of the number of people that they were bringing into the country. And the pace of that was much faster than what the economy could absorb, not just for housing, but also for jobs available to people and things of that nature.
Separate issue, green. Canada is blessed with natural resources, not just energy natural resources, but mining, rare earths. They have everything. They have gold mines. They have everything. However, the green technology or the green hesitation has mitigated that success over these last years. Is the Liberal Party identified with banning or removing fossil fuel from GDP? Where is it? I'm unaware of their program.
So the Canadian government is not going to be getting rid of fossil fuels anytime soon. It is a critical export for them, and other natural resources that they can extract could also prove to be very lucrative and a critical export for them. So financially, I don't think we're going to see any government come off of that. The one thing for debate about how you look at oil exports or for Canada would be in terms of its trade balance with the U.S. If you look at non-oil exports with Canada to the U.S., they actually the U.S. fares really well. And there isn't an imbalance in the trade. The U.S. isn't in a deficit with Canada. And it's only because of the oil exports to the U.S. that the U.S. has a trade deficit in Canada. So a lot of what people are trying to frame things as in the lead up to USMCA talks and with Trump coming into office is that the trade is not nearly as imbalanced with Canada as the U.S. would like to think, and that it's really just a question of the oil exports, which most people in the U.S. will not argue with because over 50% of our gasoline and our oil come from Canada, and they're not about to get rid of that anytime soon.
Mr. Trudeau's government is not a majority government. He shares it with another party that is often identified with the immigration and with people from other parts of the world. Does he have a good working relationship with his minority government?
It's good enough. He's recently had to backpedal on some of the immigration policies and is actually reducing the number of immigration quotas that they will allow in the years ahead to solve some of these other issues that they're having in the labor and housing markets. I would also say that at this point, the relationship of Trudeau's party with others is somewhat of a mute point just because we are expecting the Conservatives to push for a vote of no confidence once Parliament resumes on March 24th. So right now we're looking, I would say, more at a lame duck prime minister at this point, where the entire political system is pretty much waiting for Parliament to reconvene. And then we expect for the Conservatives, who are very strong performers right now, to push forward with a vote of no confidence that would basically remove the Liberals from power and put the Conservatives in power, both as the Prime Minister office and in the Parliament.
We're hours away from a new president who is a former president, Mr. Trump. Is that a challenge to Justin Trudeau's way of doing government? Would that have been part of the consideration by the Canadian people, or have they not absorbed the election of November 5th?
I think that they have absorbed the election of November 5th. That's been one of the closest watched elections in Canada because they know how important the U.S. is to them. And I think that no matter who was running, the Canadians always watch U.S. elections very closely because of how closely tied their economies are and whatnot. I think that the voters speaking against Trudeau in Canada have more to do with their lack of confidence in his ability to manage the economic problems. And surely when you're going up against someone like Donald Trump and economic negotiations, if you lack confidence in your leadership, then you're really going to be scared when somebody like that comes into office. And so I think it was more the domestic issues propelling the Canadians' decision. But obviously, it gets exacerbated when you have to put it up against someone like Donald Trump.
The triggering incident that I read about was when Chrystia Freeland, a former member of the editorial team at the Financial Times, I know Chrystia very well from years ago. She's written passionately about Ukraine, but she was deputy prime minister and also in charge of the budget. And the surprise was she resigned from the cabinet, resigned from working as deputy prime minister, because she said Justin Trudeau was using gimmicks in the budget. Is that accurate? Was he using gimmicks, and had he used gimmicks before? Was this something new, you know, selling land or double accounting? I'm not quite sure what the gimmicks were, but they were quite huffy about it.
I am not entirely sure what the gimmicks were either. I haven't actually looked to that level of detail into what she found as problematic with the budget. What I would take away is that her role in the Canadian government cannot be understated. It has been a critical actor in terms of managing the economy post-COVID, critical actor in terms of negotiating the USMCA. So to have somebody that has really been a cornerstone of the Canadian government leave and express her lack of confidence in the leadership and the party that she was working with, that is the most telling thing. So regardless of what was in the budget, the fact that we know whatever it was enough for somebody of that stature and that much investment in the Canadian government to say, I don't want to be a part of this anymore, is telling.
Alison Fedurka for Geopolitical Futures, writing about the last days of Justin Trudeau in the premiership. And another day we will speak to the expectation that Pierre Poilievre, leader of the Conservatives, will be the new PM come springtime.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right Rug.